This is the word of the Lord. Let's stand if you're able. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Well, since you're in such a preachy mood, you think you'd like to continue? Oh, you don't want? Okay. Thank you. You want to at least pray for me?
Sure.
Okay, I'll take some of that. Oh, yeah.
Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, thank you for being present, always present. Right now, I pray that you rest on Pastor Mike as he preaches, teaches the word, your word, which is living and which is active. May it penetrate to our hearts, that we may apply it to our lives to be more like Christ. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, I can help you down. It's the least I could do.
It's quicker this way.
Right.
Don't fall.
You good?
I'm good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple really quick things. We celebrated Peter Yang yesterday. That's Chuck Yang's brother. We had a celebration of life service here last night, and it was so amazing. It was so amazing. You know what I saw? It got me excited, and I don't know why it got me so excited. I felt like I went back 25 years. Everybody was dressed in black at a funeral. I mean, sharp, well-dressed, black gowns and black tie and black. And I think the thing that blessed my heart so much was it gave me a picture of things that have changed over time, and that was a simple one. And it used to be that way, that you'd go dressed in black to a funeral, and it was just the proper attire. But to see it come back was kind of an exciting thing. I get excited when I see the good things of the past come back. And I get even more excited when I see the new things that try to pass on to be shoved aside. Just my own personal thing, if they're not value. But this was a value. And it was a great celebration because there is a believer who has spent some time with Jesus Christ already in a way that we hope to get to at some point in time. That's first thing. Second thing, Neil, you bless me. You came over and you prayed for me that I would just bring Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It showed me that you've already been in the book, but I'm telling you right now, we're not going to give that one today. I didn't have the heart to tell you when you were praying for me because it felt so good to be prayed for. We're going to hit that one Wednesday. I'm going to speak Wednesday at the worship service, the kids' worship service, and afterwards there's more adult worship, and then there's a message, and the message will come from 1 Corinthians 14. So I'm encouraging you to come on that Wednesday to worship, to come and hear that message. We spent a little extra time on chapter 12, 13, and it'll be 14 next week. It's important that we get back to the foundations of the faith in terms of where this church began. And this church began as a spirit-filled church. And it's the one thing in this day we cannot afford to lose is being a spirit-filled church. We can't afford to lose being a church of God's word. And the preaching of his word and the moving by the spirit of our God is what the church is called to. And it says true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And that's how this church worships. And we'll get a taste of that on Wednesday. So I'm inviting everybody that's in this room here to come here Wednesday for that night. What you're going to get is wonderful worship from the young people. You heard Katie lead a couple songs today. You're going to have your team here. Is that right? Okay, I got to make sure. All right. And she will be here, and you'll get a chance to see Katie do what she does, and she's amazing. And then after that worship, we'll have some extended worship, and then we'll go into that teaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Today, we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, as Sally just read. So, Father God, have your hand upon this servant, and have your hand upon our ears that we hear and receive all that you have for us this day. In chapter 13, Paul introduces the idea that love is the highest and most essential virtue. He acknowledges that spiritual gifts such as prophecy, love prophecy, tongues, I love tongues, knowledge, want more of it, are valuable, but without love, they are meaningless. Love in its purest form is patient, kind, humble, and enduring. Paul says that love surpasses all other gifts. It is eternal in that it remains even when the other gifts pass away. Love is a big deal. If you ever hear me go off about love and say anything that seems to be negative about love, it's not about true love. It's about the false love that's presented in this day. It's the thing that I rail against because, well, anything false is not good concerning God. Love, in its purest form, is Christ. He is love. Now, love is not him, but he is love. And out of the abundance of him is love, and it is a love that is sacrificial. It is real, and it is enduring. It's not a platitude. It's not a nice, happy thing to just say to somebody, I love you in casual ways, although that's not so bad. But when we're talking about love and we want to preach about love, we want to preach about the depth of what it is. And Jesus said, I have loved you and me with an everlasting love. He loves us with a sacrificial love. He gave up himself in love for us. And so when we talk about love here in 1 Corinthians, this is the kind of love that we're speaking about. It is whole and it is complete. Jeremiah 31, 3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. We don't deserve to be drawn, to be very honest with you. He draws us with an everlasting love to himself. Why? Because that is where salvation lives. He draws us to him for salvation for us. And then he continues to draw us to him that we would walk with him in this relationship that he's cultivated for you and me with him. It's so beautiful. Have you ever experienced a loving relationship with God that you're aware of? Raise your hands if that's you. Okay. Are there any bold people out there say, yes, but I don't feel it? That's honest. Sometimes we don't feel it. And then he's going to take us to the place of faith. We have to believe because he said so. And then many times in our walk, our feelings and our emotions lie to us. They're not fully aware, if you will. But when he says he loves you, you believe it by faith. When he said he died for you and salvation is for you, we believe it by faith, not by feelings. And then we get a side blessing that he allows us to feel, right? And when he allows us to feel, what a blessing it is. But we believe this by faith. Why? Because he said so. Love never fails. It transcends time. It is eternal, and it doesn't fade away. There's lots of gifts that we're going to talk about over this week and Wednesday, and we talked a little bit about last week. Man, there's all kinds of gifts that God has poured out on his church. And they're amazing gifts. But they don't last. They ceased and come to an end at some point. When? When we see him face to face. When we see Jesus face to face, we'll be in heaven with him, and there'll be no need for the gifts of prophecy and all the other things. Those things are going to pass away. But for the time being, we operate and we work in those giftings for people, that they would hear the truth of God's word. They would hear and know who the Lord is. So know that love doesn't fail and that it transcends time. It's eternal and doesn't fade away. Second thing I want to bring to your point is the Lord loves. And who does he love especially? He loves his church. The world calls husbands and wives to love each other. And we're supposed to love our spouses like he, especially the man, is supposed to love his spouse like Christ loves his church. So he has a deep seated love for his church. Ephesians 5:25, one of my favorite verses. Every premarital counseling cycle I do with somebody, with a couple, this is something we focus on. And it's, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It is the most powerful, beautiful statement that the husband is called to love his wife like Christ loves. That's a big order. That I have to love like God does? What do I do when I don't feel love? Am I empty-handed? I don't know what to do. I can't love like God loves. He says, love your spouse like I love the church. Man, when you make that promise with your bride, this is what God is calling you to. There's no back door to this promise. There's no acceptable back door to this promise. We're called to love our wives like that. Selflessly, unconditionally. When it goes against what we want, we get past us and what we want, and we go to the place of love, and it becomes sacrificial. That's what God has called the husband to do. And the wives are going to get all fired up because I'm going to say, wives, submit to your husbands. Really? You're upset about that? Do you see what he's got to do? He's got to put his life on the line for you because that's how Christ loved us. He went to the cross in love of his church. And we're supposed to do that for our spouse. But wives, he says, submit to your husbands. What does that mean? You come under the authority of the plan that God is given to us for marriage. You come under that plan. And you respond and you respect your husband in the order that God has put him in, the place that God has put him in. Does it sound fair? No, it's not fair, because the call on the man is so much greater. I'm telling you, to love like Christ loves is the greater command. It's hard, it's difficult. This one here is, submit to the one that God has put in this place. I'm saying this is black and white almost, that we hear these words because he loved us sacrificially and laid his life down. And then to men, I would say, don't abuse this. Don't abuse this. I don't want to hear, I'm the man, it's October, and I'm going hunting with my buddies. See you and the kids later. Well, I'm going to tell you, that guy's not very bright. That's not operating in love. That's operating in self. So when we love our spouses like we're called to love our spouses, it's sacrificial. It's thinking about her before me. And when that's working, what you get is perpetual motion for love in a family relationship and a husband-wife relationship. We're not called to be a boss. We're called to be lovers of our wives, sacrificial lovers of our lives. So, last thing I want to say for men and women alike, women get the direct call to submit to their husbands. Husbands are called to submit and have a spirit of submission about them. That's what it says in the verse before. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. It says, submit one to another. I should have a spirit of submission. As a pastor, I should have a spirit of submission in the most healthy sense for this congregation. And I'm submitting to your needs. And I'm submitting to you as people. And hopefully I can get to a place at some level where it's sacrificial, where it's beyond what I really want to do, but I know it's what I'm needed to do and I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm called to do. That's what the elders are called to do. That's what the associate pastors are called to do. And that's what we're all called to do, to love like this. So when we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we're talking about love, we're talking about something that goes deeper than the Valentine's card that says, you know, love and big bubbled hearts and all kinds of things. John 3:16 explains further what the love is like. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you have a spouse that's not saved? Your priority for all of you, whether it's husband or wife, is to pray them into salvation. Love them into salvation. Serve them into salvation. Submit to them into salvation, that they would come to know Christ. That's what God has called us to do. Does he make ways out? Yeah, but it's because of our stubborn heart. Keep that in mind. Do not let our stubborn hearts dictate where we go, but let the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, direct the way that we should go. Thank you, Jesus. Third thing, apart from love, just remember we are nothing apart from love. And that's related to the gifts. Now we're going to get into some of the gifts. We talked about those in chapter 12. We're going to talk about them just a little bit here. And then in chapter 14, we're going to talk about them and how they unfold. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You've heard me talk many times up here about speaking in tongues. That's a gift of God. I love that gift. And I use that gift all the time. But if I don't have love backing that up, it's noise. It's empty. So I must have love. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I love the prophetic gifts. I love people in the church that have the gift of prophecy. And in a way, I'm operating in that gift in the sense that I'm giving God's word out to you. That's a prophetic work. But all the time, people, you hear three different people give out words, and we hear them every week. Different people giving out words. What are they giving? They're giving a prophetic word to the church. It lines up with the truth of Scripture. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's meaningless. But if it lines up with the truths that are in Scripture, then it's meaningful. Keep giving. Keep operating. Keep working in those gifts. God's given you that gift. Embellish it. But if you don't have love in you, it's noise and it's meaningless. So the vessel is called to walk and operate in love. Even when they're walking in the power of God, we are to walk in love. Oh, but you don't know, God's given me this gift. I laid hands on the sick and they were healed. And you don't have love, and that healing was about you abusing a gift of God so you can go tell everybody on Facebook, look at the wonderful thing I did. No. He gave you that gift to operate by his Spirit for the benefit of another. It's about him And it's about them, and you become the vessel. The best vessels will be the ones that don't even know they're a part of the plan, in my opinion. Do we want people to pray for healing in this room? We sure do. And I'm hoping a bunch of women come up to Carrie before she leaves here today, lays hands on her, and prays for peace to come to her precious soul, her mind and her spirit, because she's one of ours. Not operating because it's about us, it's because it's about her. And that's how the gift should work. Thank you, Jesus. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits nothing. Wow. Good things are happening in the world on the surface. They're good things. They're helping people. There's pantries. There's laundry love. There's different things that the church is doing to reach out. That's beautiful. And it should continue to do those things. And the church should support those things as best as we can. But if there's not love in this, and this is about self in any way, it's noise. It's a show. It carries no eternal value. It's got to be done in love. Galatians 5:22 says this. I love this. But the fruit of the Spirit, first one listed is love, is love. When you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, when you receive salvation, the Spirit is present in you. When you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which means he is now operating through you, but he's always there from the time you ask Christ in. When you do these things, you're to operate in love. The gift of love is preeminent in those. How do I know that those people are all that they say they are? First place I have to look, and all of us have to look, is love. Does love come out of them? Neil lays hands on me and he prays for me because he loves me and he wants me to do good. And he wants the anointing to be on me. Why does he do it, really? Because he loves me. And he wants God to work through me. And I am in full agreement of that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the beautiful thing about all of this is the setup to when he gets into the gifts. This is the setup to when he gets into what he's going to give us and bless us as believers to accomplish his purpose. But before I give you that, I'm going to just tell you about, and we've done this before, but I'll just review. There's different kinds of love. And I'm going to speak about what Christ's love is like. Storge is a familiar family love. Moms love their babies. Husbands love their wives and love their children, and they raise them up. It's called storge. It's beautiful. It's a natural kind of a love. Evil people can operate in this kind of love. Phileo is another type of love. And this is a type, it's a brotherly companionship type love or sisterly companionship type loves. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus to operate in this kind of love. And it's good. It's good when you see it in operation. All right? That brotherly love, and it's good to see. Eros love is more of a romantic type love, the kind that's meant to be between a husband and a wife. Erotic comes from that word. It's a kind of love. But the love that God is talking about and is very clear about when he talks about these things is agape. Is a pure, selfless, unconditional love that is a choice to care for others. It is the highest form of love as it is sacrificial. Keep that in mind. Does your love, will it take you to a place where your love is sacrificial? It is so much not about you. It is so much about the object of your love. And sometimes it is so much, and oftentimes, and almost always, it should be the kind of love that God works through us to other people. He loves us with agape, perfect love. And then after it establishes the whole idea of love, in it goes to verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13:4, and says, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. And then it says this thing that I think it's healthy for the church to hear. But where there are prophecies, they'll fail. Where there are tongues, they'll cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part. That's all of us. We know in part. How much do we know? Let's think about it for a second. How much do we really know? I'm on a track. Many of you are on a track. And we started from zero. Base zero is when we came to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Before that, we weren't on the track. We were, I don't know where we were. I can't think of where I was before that. I don't even want to indulge it. I don't want to go back there. But when I came to Christ, and when you came to Christ, we got on this track. And we acknowledged who he is. When we did that, we now have the capability to love like Christ has called us to love in agape. Prior to that, we can't do that. Get on that track. And what happened on that track? I begin to grow. How did I grow? I began to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. What did he do? He began to reveal to me the things in my life that were out of order. He began to reveal to me the things I needed to do. He began to reveal to me the things that I needed to get on board with concerning him. So what did it look like? I can't just say I'm this. I have to begin to be this. In fact, I can't just say I'm a Christian. I have to start being a Christian. I can't just say, love you guys, anymore, and have it carry the same weight that God has called it to carry. Now it's, love you, brother. I say that all the time. I'm sure many of you do. Love you, brother. Love you, sister. Why? Because this is a different kind of love than what would have come before I came to Christ. One is a platitude. And believe me, in this day, there are a lot of platitudes being preached on this topic. Once you come to Christ, the love that you express moves towards agape, and it's not a platitude. It has to be a real thing. It has to look like Christ loving us. We have to begin to love others like it. Not a platitude. It's got to be a reality. And so when a brother or sister come up to you and say, I love you, I appreciate you, you mean so much to me, that's a beautiful thing. I used to hear that from students all the time. What did they have? They had a nice affection for a teacher. Gerald, you probably get that all the time. Love you, Mr. Hines. Teachers get that. When does it become deeper? When they come to know Christ and they understand what real love is. This is a challenge to all of us, by the way. And then when it goes to the part, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We are knowing and prophesying and doing the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us while we live in a bag of flesh and we're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, my flesh plays a part in a lot of things. It means it's imperfect. It's not complete. I do the best I can with what God has given me. And I'm a believer. So I know in part. I operate in part. But then he goes on to tell us something a little bit deeper. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. What is that? 1 John 3:2 tells us, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When will we see Jesus as he is? When we are in heaven. We will see him fully. Now we look as through a mirror dimly, but then we shall see him face to face. And it's when we see him face to face is when God is fully revealed to us. It is so powerful and so beautiful. But until then, I am walking in this bag of flesh, trying to make sense of it all, do the best I can. And then what kicks in? The beautiful thing that kicks in is grace kicks in. God gives me grace. Why does he give me grace? Because I am a child of his. And what do I do in this time of grace? The best I can. We do the best we can. We come to know him better. How? You're sitting in a sanctuary where somebody's speaking about Jesus. You heard the prophetic utterances given earlier telling you who Jesus is. You're in life groups learning about who Jesus is by his word. You come to worship and you begin to experience Jesus and who he is through the worship. And all these are significant and play a part about us growing to know him. But when we come to the very best, we could be the most scholarly, the best worshipers, the best givers. We could be the best of all time. We still fall short. We still see dimly as through a mirror. But when we're in his presence, we will see him face to face. And then all of a sudden, then we will know fully and operate in that. Are you not excited about that? Oh my goodness, you should be jumping out of your seats, except for I can't get you going here. We'll see. And then it comes down to the end. It says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Every gift will pass away. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is going to pass away. When we are in glory with God, we won't need them. We will know fully even as we are fully known. We will enter worship probably with the angels, my guess is. That'll be another study. And we'll enter into that worship and we'll be all in. We won't want to leave the worship. We're not going to say things like, well, that was too long. Or, you know, I hate it when Pastor Mike gets up there and starts singing with the group because, frankly, he doesn't have it. Well, we'll see. When we're in glory, I'll be the loudest and I'll have it then. And then I'm going to say, I'm not singing for you. No, I'm kidding. Man, can you imagine what it's like when you see him face to face? We say these words, but we don't let them hit our heart. We say these words and we think, and maybe we imagine, but let it hit you. See it for others. I'm going to go through just a couple things really quick here. Because I want to break it down just a little bit, just so we're really clear on what it is. The centrality of love in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks of the importance of love in all aspects of a behavior of a believer's life. Love isn't just an emotional feeling, but it's a principle that should shape the actions, attitudes, and motivation of all of us. Love is a choice. You can choose to love or not to love. You can choose to love sacrificially, or you can keep it light. That's up to you to decide. You have a choice in the matter. God would call us to live sacrificially, to love sacrificially. It's an active decision to put others before ourselves, even in the face of adversity and inconvenience. Are you able to love somebody like that? I'm going to tell you what, if you're anything like me, you'll know those things are real. I want to demonstrate the love I have for somebody, a family member, a sister or a brother or whatever, and the first thing that hits is inconvenience. When inconvenience hits, I slow my roll on wanting to show all this love because, frankly, it doesn't work with my schedule. No, love is sacrificial. I better find a way, especially when the Spirit is prompting me. Love is a reflection of God's character. The love Paul describes in 1 Corinthians is a reflection or a picture of God's own character. His love is selfless, sacrificial, and enduring. And Christians are called to mirror that love in their relationship with others. He's given us a challenge as believers. We have to be different. We have to be the thing that sticks out in the world, and it begins with how we love. Can we love different than the world loves? And when we love different than the world loves, it has an impact on them. What is the impact? Hopefully the impact leads to salvation for them. He's got us busy. This kind of love goes beyond human affection or attraction. It's divine. It's rooted in the nature of God and expressed in the lives of the believer. So now we are called to love like this. He sends us out in this kind of love. We should all have our love dipsticks and see where we're at, get a good reading. Love is greater than gifts. And you hear me talk about the gifts a lot. We talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talk about it a lot here. We practice them a lot. Love is greater than the gifts that he gives us. Paul says love surpasses all other spiritual gifts like prophecy, speaking in tongues, and knowledge. I love all three. I love all three of those gifts. I think you do too. But love surpasses that. Love is the one thing that never fades or ceases. While gifts are temporal and will pass away when Christ returns, love is eternal. The point here is that the Christian ministries, whether preaching, teaching, or serving, must be driven by love. For it to have any lasting value, without love, spiritual gifts are empty and futile. Here's what it looks like. I'm going to give you a picture. Worship team can come forward. Without loving in the Spirit, the good works you do will tire you and have you grow weary. I watched yesterday as we had about four people serving about probably 300 people yesterday. And the four people, if the work that they did was not done in love, they would be exhausted beyond what they probably already are anyway. But when they do it in love, and I believe that's what our church does beautifully, and that's what they did yesterday. When they do that in love, it should be a thing that fills you and brings joy to you. And it's not just with this group, it's any group. It's teachers, it's me, it's the elders, it's whatever work we're doing in this. It should be done in this kind of love. Otherwise, we grow weary and exhausted, and we can't sustain. But when we do it by the power of the love of God in us, it sustains, and it has greater effect. Thank you for that, Jesus. Love is active and it is selfless. Active and selfless or sacrificial. Paul uses the Greek word for love in this passage, agape. It's what we talked about earlier, which is a deliberate choice to act in the best interest of others, even when it requires our sacrifice. It is not merely passive or sentimental. It is active. It serves, it protects, it endures. That's what we're called to be as believers in the things that God has called us to, whatever it is. Whether it's preaching on the mountaintop or whether it's cleaning in the toughest places in the building. Whatever it is, everything is important. And we do it for the glory of God because it matters. Love in the church. The health and the unity of the church depend upon the love of Christians. And it's shown by the love they have for one another. Paul's context here, where division and competition for spiritual gifts were prevalent. Oh, man. I am telling you, this is a thing. God gives multiple spiritual gifts to us. He gives us all kinds of gifts. Some to some others to others. All right? We don't all get the same gift or gifts. We get different ones. And there's a pride in our humanity that comes about when we're operating sometimes in our gifts. And right now, I don't care if there's a person in the room, I have to preach this because I need to hear this. I take pride in my gifts too often and I can't. Because without the Holy Spirit working through me, I am nothing. I am noise. But when he's working through me, it's about what he's doing. And what is the gift now? The gift is a gift. It's not in and of myself. It's what he has done. Think of the giftings that he's given you. How do you operate? Our church runs like smooth because we got a trice in the office. Our ministries in this church run smooth. Why? Because we have associate pastors in this church that do great work. We have elders that oversee the work that's done in this church. All of them anointed. Our worship. My goodness. This worship that we have here is a gift. And frankly, I think I'm going to let me sing with you guys today so I can experience it.
Beautiful. You're welcome.
It is a gift. And if it wasn't under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, it would be noise.
Amen.
All right? And they know. And we know. What is the gifting that God has given you? What has he poured into you? You know that this is from God, and I'm to walk in it. We have prayer warriors here. Brother, you're a warrior. People are growing in this gifting. It's not because he's the great guy. It's because he's the humble guy that let God in. That's the whole thing. He let God in to work through him. My sister Maxine's been a warrior in this church from the beginning. Maxine, really, you're 5 foot nothing. You're lighter than a bucket of water, and I'm telling you right now, there is no more powerful person in this church than you.
Amen.
Because God is in you. It's because God is in her. We have lots of time, because I don't want to go any further. I want to save the rest for Wednesday, because that's more yelling. But we're going to do a couple songs, Mike, whatever you're led to do. If you have to recycle some, that's fine. It's good? All right. I want you to come up for now. We're going to worship again together. But concerning the gifts of God, I want you to come up and begin to, just in prayerful thought and meditation, even as you're worshiping. If you don't have gifts, ask him for what gifts do you want me to have? If you walk in gifts and you know you have the gift, can you ask him to make you righteous in that gift? And that means that you're doing it for the glory of God and not the glory of man. You can just come in and work that out between you and God, what that is. If you're a great teacher, we got old teachers, we got young teachers, we got teachers all over this room. Come on up and ask God to bless you in that and to fill you in that, and that you would give glory to him for the gift that he's given you. The musicians will all be up here anyway in that gifting, but there's many gifts that God gives us, and it's for his glory and his purposes that we can impact a world for his glory, a city for his glory, a neighbor for his glory, a family member for his glory. So come on up. We're going to do this as a group, and Mike, I'm going to ask you to close when we're done, if that'd be great. So come on up and join us in worship right here.